farm and agribusiness. From the Brownfield Network, this is KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk with Dr. Hal Green. You can listen to Dr. Green each Sunday morning here on KWPC between 8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning, and welcome to God Talk. I don't believe that there are any more beautiful words that have ever been spoken than the words of Jesus in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, his great teaching from Matthew 5 through 7. They're called the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes, from Latin beatus, meaning blessed. For me, these are the words of God addressing all generations. Here they are. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Whenever I hear and take in these Beatitudes of Jesus, they bless me. When they're spoken for me, time just kind of stops. Heaven opens and I find myself in the presence of the Holy One, God, the one full of grace and promise. There's kind of a strange, hushed otherness to the Beatitudes. God's truth is being spoken deeper than I go. My life is opened and my direction is given. Be this, do that. And divine promises are offered of the utmost importance. Promises of well-being, of holiness, of intimacy with God, of possession of the earth. Be and do what God wants, and when you are, God will bless you in ways beyond your vision, but not beyond your farthest and deepest longings. It's important to realize that Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount that begins with the Beatitudes were delivered not to the masses, not to the crowds, but to Jesus' own disciples. They were thus intended more for believers than unbelievers, and address us not only where we are, but where we are to be and what we are to do as Christ's followers. The sermon is really the essence of Jesus' own teaching. And the Beatitudes, and this is important, constitute the essence of the essence. Now, inasmuch as Jesus is not only the messenger of the kingdom of God, but as has been pointed out, Jesus is the message himself, as Marshall McLuhan once said, the medium is the message. The medium is the message. Jesus came with a message, but people looked at him as the message. The Beatitudes reveal the essence of both Christ's message and he himself. They tell us about the heart and soul and character of Jesus of Nazareth, not just about how we are to be as his followers. Further, since Jesus is both the incarnation of God and the revelation of our own coming divinity, however long it's going to take to get here, the Beatitudes disclose to us the heart of God and our emerging heart in Christ and Christ's heart in us. That's pretty heavy stuff, I know. What it means is that when we become functioning Christians, we will be and do what these Beatitudes praise. They're like guideposts, signs by which to measure who and where you are with God and with others. They indicate when you're living in the Spirit of Christ and when you're not. Now, you should strive to obtain not just one or the other of these qualities, but all of them. For together they define the complete nature of the Christian character, of Christlikeness. Together they reveal the coming union of human and divine natures. Now, you know, that isn't discussed very much, but that's what the Bible's all about. That's why Jesus came. Now, when you're doing and being what these Beatitudes declare, you will also be receiving what they promise. They promise benefits Jesus came to bring us, such as entrance into and a fulfilling life in the kingdom of God, comfort and strength from the Holy Spirit, the inheritance of the world, the infilling of Christ's Spirit of righteousness, mercy, actually seeing God, designation as a child of God, intimacy and identity with Christ Jesus himself. In other words, these Beatitudes tell us about, reveal the essential blessings of Jesus Christ. You know, the New Testament was written in response to two questions. Who is Jesus Christ and what are his benefits? Who is this guy and what good does it do me to know him? Well, they're all contained right here in the Beatitudes. The blessings of Christ are slowly given to us in a lifelong process of our becoming more and more like Christ, as delineated in these eight qualities. That's the point, to grow into Christlikeness. Not just to have some mere faith, like, oh, good, I believe in you, you know, so therefore I'm saved. You need to draw near to have a relationship. And these characteristics will become more and more in evidence the closer you draw to Christ as Christ draws to you. In other words, God is changing us degree by degree by degree through this process of becoming more like Christ. God gives us the grace to enable us to do, and in doing we become what we do, and we just receive more grace. As we receive, we do more and become more, and the truth of God's promises is confirmed in our living more and more like Christ. That's a beautiful vision. There are very few saints, or very few people take this seriously or have that kind of hunger to be open to these great words. Do this, be that, and receive the promises now, even if only a down payment through and in the Holy Spirit. Another way to understand that is that the Beatitudes reveal what God our Father treasures in us, the kind of person God wants us to become. the kind of person Jesus Christ already is. They disclose the heart of Christian maturity or perfection, which should be our mission and driving motivation as Christians. So we see right at the end of Matthew 5, the same chapter where Jesus gives the Beatitude, verse 48, Jesus' command, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, we just need to understand what is meant by the word perfect. It doesn't mean absolutely flawless, doing everything just right, never making mistakes, because none of us are capable of that. The word for perfect in Greek is teleios. Teleios, meaning fully developed, mature, without defect or blemish, therefore perfect. So, in other words, to use an analogy, because I really love Iowa corn on the cob. I'm sure other states have great corn, but I especially love the sweet corn that now has come on. Well, you could say that an ear of corn is teleios when it's fully developed. Therefore, it's perfect, meaning it is now what it is supposed to be. It has become that which you can enjoy, however many you can eat at a sitting. The eight Beatitudes represent what our perfection in Christ will look like. Now, let me tell you, what God treasures is in direct opposition to what the world treasures. Perfection for God means to be needy in spirit, to mourn at the world's state, to be humble, to hunger earnestly for God's righteousness to prevail, to be merciful to all, to will God with your whole heart, to seek God with your whole heart, to treasure. These are what is of God, even the willingness to be persecuted for God's righteousness. Now, what the world treasures is the opposite, isn't it? Not to be needy. Oh, we don't want to be needy. Not to care too much about the state of the world. You know, take care of yourself. Let the world do what the world does. To be prideful. To elevate self and self-rule above God's kingdom. Success. Success above being good. Paying back above forgiving. Being a warrior above a peacemaker. Being feared and respected far above being picked on and persecuted. I tell you, my friends, God's treasures are folly to the world. Yet God promises to bless us for striving to attain the heart, soul, and character of Christ. That's our number one task. And God constantly seeks to bless us who we are. Bless us as God's own people. You know, God does a lot of blessing and promising in the Bible, even in the face of our continuing to do a lot of messing around and not taking things seriously. The primal blessing of God given to us as a parent to his children is for spiritual and material prosperity, for long and fruitful life. So we see that, for example, in Psalm 91, one of my very favorite psalms, at the end, where God promises great blessing to those who love and cleave to him. These words, those who love me, devakuth is the word in Hebrew for love. It means to cleave to, like lovers cleave to each other. I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call on me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. The blessings Jesus promised to his followers in the Beatitudes are both for this world and for the world to come. They may begin now as a gift of the Spirit, but will not be fully fulfilled until God's kingdom actually arrives. And this world finally is in full accords with God's holy will. In other words, the blessings of each of these Beatitudes will forever remain both the gift of grace and a reward for being the way God wants. The needy receive the kingdom, the mourning are comforted, the meek receive the earth, the hungry will get God's justice, the merciful will get God's mercy, the pure in sight will see God, the peacemakers will be like God, and the persecuted will have rewards that are great in heaven. One more quick point, and then let's take a break. The word in Greek that Jesus uses here for blessed is makarios, which denotes, means like living in the condition of the gods. You have everything you want. Makarios signifies the joy, serene and untouchable, self-contained bliss that's independent of any and all external circumstances. You're going to have it, and no one, as Jesus says, when you have my joy, no one will be able to take it away from you. Wow, now that is a great promise. Let's take a brief break.
On KWPC, listen to the Sports Stooges with Brian and Jim, presented by Muscatine Community College.
Register now for fall classes at the community's college. More area high school grads choose Eastern Iowa Community College to continue their education than any other college. Go online today to eicc.edu.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Chance for scattered thunderstorms today. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs around 86. North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows level off around 62. Mainly clear skies and quiet again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 79 degrees.
Don't miss the Sports Stooges, presented by MCC, this Friday morning, starting at 10 a.m. here on KWPC, AM 860, FM 95.1.
Okay, we are back. I would like now to turn to the specific Beatitudes, and this is going to be the beginning of a series. I'll try to cover, hopefully, two Beatitudes on each show. So now I want to talk about the first of these phenomenal Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You know, maybe we can't go back to our childhood home again, but Jesus says we can and even must become as children to enter God's kingdom. Now, one reason why this is probably because children are needy, and they're not ashamed of their neediness. They know they cannot make it without caregivers, and that's just fine with them, assuming, of course, that they receive adequate love and care. Children are humble, and they recognize and readily accept their current state of being. And they joyfully take in all the daily gifts of life. So to begin with, it is for children, including the child in us, that Jesus announces, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is actually a radical and revolutionary statement. It is in direct opposition to the world. What does the world hold? Blessed are the rich, for theirs is the kingdom of earth. Those who have get more. It takes money to make ever more money. The world shows great partiality to the wealthy. Also envy and probably some secret disdain and prejudice. Yet the world strives after what the peasant Tevye wished for in the musical Fiddler on the Roof. If I were a rich man. Now, Jesus says the one who possesses all will lose all, that those who seek to save their lives will lose them. Whereas, he says, those who give their lives to God, who serve God, will save their lives for all eternity. Jesus says that the one who has nothing now will have everything then. His life shows that the only thing worth having is God. Until we know that, we will not discern our true poverty, which we have apart from God. I'll never forget back in the 80s when the 100-year farms were lost And I did some work with small groups of farm families that were losing their property. It was a horrible time in Iowa and across the Middle West. One woman who had a little saying that she put on her refrigerator, she said, that kept her alive. And it said, and these are close to the words, when you lose everything you have, you realize that God is the only thing you need. That kept her going. Or in Psalm 73, the psalmist says, who have I in heaven but you? And having you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Jesus said he came to preach good news to the poor. None are needier of his message nor more open to his words. None are dearer to God. The poor, both materially and spiritually, are those destined, like the beggar Lazarus in Jesus' parable of the beggar Lazarus, the rich man and Lazarus in Luke's gospel, they're destined to dwell at the bosom of Abraham, the highest place of honor in the kingdom of God. It is to the poor, to those who know their need of God, the humbled who are waiting for God, that God has given the promise of coming blessedness, of unending abundance in God. The Hebrew word for these special, though downtrodden, God-seekers is anawim. They are to be the first ones blessed in the kingdom. The first person Jesus addresses in his eight Beatitudes, which establish the dimensions of Christian character. All Christians are to become like Christ, like Christ's own character, which is revealed in his Beatitudes. Therefore, Christ himself is needy and poor in spirit. As he said, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Wow. Note that it is spiritual poverty that is blessed, not necessarily material poverty, for they don't usually go together. It is most often the materially rich who are spiritually bankrupt, those surrounded by and obsessed with the trappings of wealth, who are empty of heart, bereft of spirit. Though rich in the eyes of the world, something in them is acutely aware of their hidden poverty of spirit, which they often deny they seek unsuccessfully to fill with yet more possessions, more possessions. One dilemma of the wealthy as well as those who seek wealth is this: we want to take our wealth with us and not have to give it up. In our clinging to our possessions, we do not have a hand free to take hold of the spiritual riches of love and self-giving. Wow. In what does your life consist? It does not consist in possessions, I tell you, but in relationships, above all, in your relationship to God. Now, you can choose to cling to God or to possessions, but not both. Pick. I'm throwing them both your way. You've got to grab one. Now, when I go to God in prayer, I always go needy and naked. You know, money is not evil, but it's the love of money that is the source of all manner of evil in this world. Referring to God and mammon, Jesus warns us that we cannot have two masters. If you try to serve both God and mammon, you will not serve either satisfactorily. So the question is, the issue is, who is your master? To whom do you cling? True religion begins the moment you realize the depth of your need for God. Realize you must have God and the things of God to go on. God broke me years and years ago, thank heavens, and I turned broken, realizing without God there was no meaning in life, It's the best thing ever happened to me. True religion is founded on the recognition that you cannot make it on your own, that if God will not save you, ultimately you're not going to get saved. That if God will not fill you with the Spirit, you're going to remain empty. That if God will not free you, you will not be able to leave your prison of mind and soul. That if God will not heal you, you shall not be healed. This insight into our essential impoverishment stands behind, for example, the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. This first step is the recognition of our powerlessness, our helplessness over our addiction. Or it could be our fear, or our disease, or our mortality, or our incapability to conquer that which denies us freedom, whatever that is, which drains our ability to live and to love. This recognition of our need for God urges us to seek the absolute. Jesus invites that search by telling us, ask. Seek, knock, and you will be given. The door will be open. You will find, especially the Holy Spirit. Our need for God leads to our conversion, our turning from the world to God. Conversion really is a detaching from the goods of the world and a turning to God and an attaching to God and the spiritual goods of God. We let go of everything that is not of God and cling to everything that is. Simple. It really is fundamental. Jesus himself was remains poor in spirit and would have it no other way. He knew his constant need for God, knew that he did what he did through God's Spirit working in him, the Spirit he brought to share with us. The riches Jesus possesses are the riches of God offered to us. So Paul could say in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure of God in earthen vessels so that the glory belongs to God and not to us. The poverty of Jesus has to do with his abandoning his own wealth and becoming a servant for us. He became poor so that we might become rich. He gave himself away to us that he might receive himself back from us, in us. Jesus came to share both his poverty and his immeasurable wealth in God. He seeks that we conform to his poverty so that his riches might also become our riches. Of course, none of us want to be poor, nor do we want to recognize our spiritual poverty. It's painful. We have pride. Well, we still desire power, wealth, prestige. Though the Spirit tells us that God exalts the humbled and humbles the exalted, that God fills the poor and turns the wisdom of this world into foolishness, we want neither to be humbled nor to be poor. We would rather not need God. Or at least not need God or anyone else too much. We would much prefer to be independent, in control, able to fill ourselves when needed to take care of ourselves and our loved ones. Yet in the sight of God, those who are consumed by their own wealth and what it brings are the poor, the destitute, whereas those who are consumed by the poverty of their spirit, their hunger and thirsting for God, are the richest people on earth because they're prepared for the wonderful infilling of the Holy Spirit. Wow. In some, we can enter the kingdom of God only naked and needy. There it is, folks. You want to have clothes? You're not going to get there. You're not going to recognize your neediness. The narrow door will not fit. So this first beatitude is, in fact, the ground of all the other beatitudes. We can bring nothing with us but ourselves and our hunger for God. Just when, like when our mother called us to supper bring nothing but yourselves and your hunger. So it is, bring ourselves and hunger. Embrace your poverty of spirit, detached from the world and attached to God, your true wealth. The less there is of you, the more there can be of God. The less you bring to God, the more God can bring to you. Well, my friends, if you would like to hear this show, I will have it on my website this morning, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. Next week, we'll turn to the next two Beatitudes. Please listen in and God bless you.
KWPC, K236 CF Muscatine. Available everywhere you go. Download our free mobile.